So today we're doing our first fruits. If you haven't been here for the first week, second week, I want you to do yourself a favor. Go and listen to the first two sermons of the year. The first sermon was called See God First. And then the second was the principle of the first. Amen? The principle of the first. So we want to put God, it's the first month. So we want to put, what there's an old saying, you put the horse before the cart. You can't put the cart in front of the horse. You know what's going to happen to the cart? It'll be left right there and the horse will turn around and go his own way and do his own thing. And the load you're trying to carry will not get anywhere, right? So we have to put first things first. Amen? Praise God. All right, so we'll be doing our first fruits right after. You might be saying, Pastor, what is the first fruits? It's an offering that we give at the beginning of the year where we put aside an amount and you pray about it and you say, Lord, what it is you would have me to give. Let me give you an example. Like, for instance, we give our first income to the Lord, right? Whatever that first week looked like, we give that to the Lord. You might say, I don't want to do that, Pastor. I want to give a fixed amount. So you pray and you say, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? And sometimes the Lord won't even answer you, but you will know in your heart what it is you should do. And you may come to your mind and you just give it. If it's $25, if it's $50, if it's $1,000, if it's $2,000, whatever it is, you stretch your faith and say, God, I know first things first. Because we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Amen? So as we obey the commandments of God and we obey the principles of the Lord, we will receive the benefits of the Lord. Right? We will receive the benefits of the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Let me just bring you updated with something. If you look around, you do not see Minister Cher. She had some complications in her stomach, and yesterday she had to go into emergency surgery. So I was at the hospital from 9 a.m. I got home back 11 something last night. Amen? So just keep her in your prayers. She's doing well. Minister Dolly's not here. That's her mom. She's with her, caring for her. Amen? Praise God. Let's just give the Lord a hand for her. Amen? That she will make a great recovery, and we'll see her next weekend. Amen? Praise God. All right. Let's go to Malachi chapter. You know, things happen so suddenly, so quickly. That's why we got to be so gracious for life. And when you see each other, you know, last night this thing hit me when I drove home, when she went into the surgery, and I drove home all alone. That thing hit my heart. I'm coming home without my wife, and now she's in somebody else's, well, she's in the hand of the Lord, but these doctors are working on her. But imagine people that are in the hospital for weeks and months, and they can't carry their spouse home, they can't carry their children home. That's why the Bible says we have to empathize or mourn with those who mourn. You rejoice. When it's time to party and rejoice, you rejoice. I can't have it one side, you know. Sometimes we like to mourn, but we don't rejoice with people. That's a bad habit. That's a jealous spirit. Fix it. If you have that issue, cut it out. Cut it out. Some of us are very jealous. Cut it out. When it's time you go to somebody's party and they're dancing, like, why is she dancing like that? But when she's crying, oh, don't worry, sister. God will come through for you. You're right there ready to mourn. But I want to tell you something. We have to take each other, not for granted, but thank God for people and stand with people. When somebody's going through something, stand with them. Amen? Praise God. All right, let's get into the word this morning. Malachi chapter 3, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to honor the Lord's word. Because he said, I put my word above my name. Amen? Hallelujah. Malachi 3 verse 8. And we're going to read, and the Bible says, it begins there from verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the answer is, in tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see what was happening here with Israel? They had turned their back from the Lord. They had forsaken the house of God. The house of God was falling apart. during when you read through all the minor prophets, they all pretty much exist around the same time. And this was the state of the church at that point. Everyone just forsook the house of God. They forsook the ordinance of God. They were not obeying the commands of the Lord. And God came down and God said, listen, man, through his prophet, he said to them, you have robbed me with your tithes and your offering. It is not today that people start robbing God. It is nothing new. It is not today. This didn't just start happening. This has just been a way of man. Because what? The goal of the devil is to get us to rebel whatever God says to do. God says, love your neighbor. You're like, no, she ain't good enough for me to love her. Or he's not good enough. He don't deserve my love. You know, you hear those things. Oh, you don't deserve my love. You don't deserve me to be kind to you. Who said they got to be? Jesus said you got to love your enemies. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Love your enemies. Do good to them that use you and despitefully use you, who intentionally use you and say all manner of evil against you. Amen? So here they were, but the Lord said to them, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Imagine a nation comes under a curse. Who's going to make it out? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And look at this part now. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Do you know this is the only time God allows us to try him? Where we can put God to that test? Is when he says here, he says, try me now. If I will not open for who? Come on, look in your word. If I will not open for who? Come on. Right. Now personalize it. Who's he going to open it for? Me. Amen. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, watch it. You got to watch these words. We're going to get back to them. The windows. Can somebody say windows? Who has one window in their house? We have windows, right? Because we want a lot of light. Right? We don't want to turn on the switch because you don't want to pay Con Edison. So you want as much daylight to come in. And when the daylight doesn't come, you get a little mad. Why is this place so gloomy when it's supposed to be sunny? Right? It says, watch me now. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke. Can somebody say rebuke? The devourer. I will what? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you today. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll move through the word. I pray, God, you will take your word and breathe on our hearts, breathe on our minds, breathe on our bodies, align our spirit with yours. And I pray, God, that we would obey the principle of the tenth, oh God, and put in the tithe in your hand in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Anything that is holy means that it is set apart. Whenever you see the word holy, when God calls us a holy people, a holy nation, that means that we are set apart unto who? Unto him. Amen? So in the same way, the tithe is set apart unto the Lord. The tithe is, what is the tithe? You may say, Pastor, you're talking about tithe. What is tithe? Number one, it's not tights that you wear. It's not tights that you work out with. Okay, so don't bring no tights to the church. All right? What do you got? Lululemon? Right? That's one, right? Yeah. You see that? That's right. Got my stuff down here. Right? Yeah, or your puma, you know, or no, it's not that. A tithe is a tenth. It belongs to the Lord. And we were talking last week about the principle of the first. The principle of the first. The first tenth belongs to the Lord. Not the third, fourth, fifth, and the tenth tenth. The first tenth belongs to the Lord because it is set apart holy unto the Lord. And the things that are holy are of importance. Amen? They are of importance. They are set apart for God himself. We see Israel here in a state where they came under a curse because they refused to obey. You know, the word of God says obedience brings a blessing, right? But disobedience brings a curse. We see it in the garden when man chose to listen to the voice of the devil and said, did God say you can't touch the fruit? Did God say you really can't eat of this tree? Because he knows that the moment you eat, you'll be like him and your eyes will be open. So the enemy will always distract us from this. Because what the enemy comes to do? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Anything that would align with steal, kill, and destroy, he wants you to get involved with it. He is the father of, he's a chief thief. He is the chief thief. So he wants us to rebel from God and align with him. Amen? So he will do everything and tell us all the lies and stack the lies upon lies and say, listen, if you pay God first, you will not have enough to pay your rent. And we're all afraid of our landlords. Nobody wants to be out in the cold. Maybe in the summer you can deal with it, but not in the cold. I'm just kidding. Nobody could deal with being on the streets. And it's a serious thing. But what happens is the enemy would bring all the thoughts because he wants us now to rebel against God just the way he rebels against the Lord. All the principles in the word, he don't want us to get hooked on the word of God. He don't want us to obey the truth. He doesn't want us to flourish God's way. He wants us to get entangled with him. But this morning, I want to get you to a place where you're going to avoid the curse. Where you're going to avoid the curse. Where your finances will be so blessed because you choose to obey God. You choose to put God first and give God what it is that belongs to him. He says, you rob me with tithes and offerings. Now we're saying, Pastor, I worship, I praise, I clean the church, I do this, I do that. Yeah, you're going to get blessed for that. You better believe you'll get your blessing, sure. But if you do not tithe, you cannot expect that blessing. You cannot expect the curse to be lifted off of your finances because you refuse to bring what it is that belongs to God, the tithe, into the storehouse and place it before the Lord as a solemn offering, as an holy offering unto the Lord. Every time you get your increase. Every increase, the first belongs to the Lord. Let's look at an example. In Genesis 14:14, you read there of Abraham. When Sodom and Gomorrah got, remember the story, let's go back a little. Abraham and Lot settled on a journey. God called Abraham. He took Lot with him. Then there came a time where the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham was fighting. So Abraham said, listen, Lot, for peace sake, let's just separate. You go one way and I'll go the other way. He said, wherever you choose, I'll go the other way. So guess what? Lot looked and he saw the bright lights of Sodom. Yeah, you know, just picture when you're landing in JFK and you look down and you see all those lights. And you're like, wow, New York City is so bright. When you fly over other parts of the country, it's so dark in comparison. But when you hit New York, all of a sudden you see all these lights, right? So Lot saw the lights and he got excited and he said, you know what, I think I'll go this way. I'm going to go to the bright side. But here now he found himself in trouble. The kings came and they fought against Sodom and Gomorrah and they captured Sodom and they captured Gomorrah, but also they captured Lot. They captured Lot. Now, Abraham, being a good uncle, when he got the news, a messenger slipped out of the camp and he came and he told Abraham. Let's look what happened. The Bible says, verse 14, and Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his force against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is the north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods. Can somebody say all the goods?
All the goods.
And he brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the woman and the people. So just imagine, he got the news. He said, listen, boys, it's time to go to battle. We got to go. We got work to do. And you know, we always think of Abraham as just a man of faith, and a man that's just walking around and building altars unto the Lord and a great worshiper. But we never found out that Abraham is a warrior. We never think of him as a mighty man of valor, that if you take advantage of his stuff, he'll come and get you. That he had the anointing to war as well as worship. We have that same anointing today. God has given us authority over the enemy, over the wiles and every wile and every trick and every lie that the enemy throws against us. We have the authority to defeat it. He has given us his word. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has baptized us with fire. So we have authority. We are worshipers and we are warriors. So today, don't take your authority light. Every time the enemy comes in like a flood, you stand up. You say, God, you're going to raise a standard. I want to be a part of that standard. I'm going to use my word. And no matter what comes my way, it's not going to prevail. Because greater is he that is in me. More are they that are with me than those who are against me. Listen to me. These couple men, which is just like 300 and some men, what happened was God was on their side. They were fighting against five kings. Five nations arose against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they saddled themselves and they went, and the Bible says here they took back all the goods. All the goods. All the goods. Somebody say all the goods. They took all the goods. They took back the women. They took back the children. Brought back Lot. Nothing was lost because God was on their side. Abraham was a man that worshiped God. There is no substitute for worshiping God. When you come into the house of God, you got to give God all that you got. Sometimes we hold back. We hold back some. We're like, oh, the atmosphere is not right. Oh, the music is not right. Oh, the singing is not right. No, we got to grow past that. That when we come before the great King and the Lord of Lords, we just drop on our face in awe. There was no music for Abraham. He didn't have a band that was playing for him. But everywhere he went, he built an altar. That was the difference between him and Lot. Everywhere and every achievement that he got, he built an altar before the Lord. And he worshiped God. Amen? So he got back, took back everything. And let's skip down. 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley after he returned from the defeat. And the kings who were with him. Verse 18. Then Melchizedek. What's his name now? Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High. You know, I just want you to put your name there. Blessed be whatever your name is of God Most High. Are you a child of the Lord? Can you put your name there this morning? So I'm going to say it. Blessed be. Right. You just have to just call your name. That's all you had to do. So I'll do it again, right? Blessed be of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And the Bible says, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemy into your hand. Melchizedek met him. He gave him bread. He gave him water. And he blessed him. And he blessed God. And you know what? Look what Abraham in return did. And it says here, he gave him a tithe of all. Everything that he had. And you know, Abraham was a rich man. Abraham was a rich man, but he met the priest of God and he handed him a tenth of everything that he had. So this was instituted from a worshiper. Can I tell you, worshipers tithe? Worshippers cannot come before God knowing that you're robbing God. No, worshippers obey God. Because what? The Bible says, obey his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, meaning his commandments are not hard. It is not hard to tithe. All it takes is a submissive heart. If you want to walk victorious as a Christian and walk in the overflow of God, you will give God what is due to God. He will give. He says, don't rob God. Give him the tenth. Give God the tenth. Amen? What happens when we give God the tenth? He said, I will rebuke the devourer. God now, he says, prove me. If I will not, number one, rebuke the devourer. Everything that comes to eat away at your finances, the tithe has only to do with finances. Right? He says, I will rebuke the devourer. The devil will not be able to come in and steal. So you don't have to go, I rebuke you, devil, from my money. I command you to leave my money alone. I command my money to go. No, no, no. God is busy doing that. God is busy bringing you increase. God is busy opening. He said, prove me. When you give the tenth, he said, and the offering, you bring it before the Lord and you worship him, because this takes faith. This takes, because the Bible said we can't serve God and mammon. So what you're doing, you're rejecting the spirit of mammon over your life. The spirit of mammon represents greed. Can I tell you a secret? When you talk to rich people, you meet rich people. You know, most rich, wealthy, not rich, wealthy people are not greedy people. They will tell you, one of the secrets to getting rich is to give. Who you think support all the charities? We may say, oh, their motive is to get tax break and get this and get that. But if they were greedy, they would never give. If they were greedy, they would never give. Because you got to give some to get some. Amen? What you sow is what you will reap. The principles exist. The Bible says, as long as there is the world and the heavens and the earth, they will always be sowing and they will always be reaping. So we must give unto the Lord. So when you give the tenth, your mindset is renewed, changed, and you now live on heaven's grocery store. You live by God's surplus. Why you say that, Pastor? Because God says, I will open the windows of heaven. I will open the windows of heaven. Now you're not living on your 90. You're living on God's resources. You know, we have the concept that when we give the tenth, we live on 90. Oh, God has given me 90% to live on. No, 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 no. God has not given you 90%. He did not put a percentage on what it is he has given you to live on. He says, when you give the tenth, when you reject greed, when you reject financial anxiety, because when it's time to write your tenth, you get anxious like, oh God, I got to pay for my car. All these bondages we take on, by the way. I got to pay for my house. I got to pay for my, you know the word mortgage? If you study the word mortgage, it means like a debt bond. Mortgage. Mort is debt. These things have such spiritual implication. The systems of this world, the people that set the systems up don't care about us, because the system and the God of this world have instituted the systems of this world. That's why we got to stick to kingdom principles. We need kingdom principles in every aspect of our life. We need kingdom principles in our money. Listen, and I want to see this church be blessed. You guys want to be blessed. You put God first in your finances. Can I tell you, I've been married for 15 years and we've never been hungry. We've never been thirsty. We never missed payment. We never did nothing because God has been faithful. Because the windows of heaven will, and you will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. Never. Never be put to shame. When every time you're in need, God will send a Zarephath woman. God has her right in place to take care of you. So we reject the spirit of mammon. We reject financial anxiety. And we say, God, watch here, God. The cattle on the thousand hills are yours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it. Meaning, if you got to use Minister George to bring me some money, you're going to do it because he belongs to you. Yeah. Or if you're going to use Johnny down the block or Pommy down the block, you know I'm in need. You're going to do it because you says the windows represent a stream of multiple income. Multiple streams of blessings are going to flow your way when you put God first. You're like that. Everybody passes by. Oh, how you afford this house? You know, when we bought our houses, rumors were going around that my father-in-law give us money to buy the house. He's sitting right here. Could ask him. But God is about to jack some people up when we put him first. God is going to make some people go like. And fly gun go in their mouth. Yeah, because you put him first. He said, I will open windows. Windows. Windows, multiple streams of blessings are going to flow your way when we obey God. Listen, I'm not preaching this as an idea. I'm preaching this as doctrine. This is a doctrine from the Word of God that we must receive. Just like I tell you, for you to get saved, you got to accept Jesus. For you to get blessed financially, you better tithe. Because if you're in the kingdom and you do not obey kingdom principles, look what's going to happen. It says here, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed God. And can I tell you, curse goes from generation to generation? He says, I will visit the iniquities of the parents, third, fourth generation. But I want to set you up for something different. Just as the principle says it goes from first, second, third, I want to set it up that you tithe now, and your children now, the blessing now will go first, second, third, fourth generation. We got to apply principles to our life that we can get the breakthroughs that we're looking for. Honor God with all your substance, with the first fruit of all your increase. Honor God. And then you become an overflow magnet when you give God the tithes and the offering. He said, I'm going to pour a blessing for you that you will not have room enough to receive. Meaning, I'm going to give you such a blessing that all you can do now is go. When you see a brother, you're like, hold this. This is a blessing for you. You're not now being tight and greedy and miser because God says what? He loves what? What kind of people? Cheerful giver. The Bible said, don't give grudgingly. If you're going to give your tithes grudgingly, don't do it. Because the Bible says, man, look at the outside. You're not impressing nobody. You're not even impressing me. I'm not going to make you a leader in the church if you give your tithes. But if you don't give your tithes, you're not going to be nothing in the church either. Right? So you got to give your tithes. You got to obey the word of God. You got to obey the full thing. Because why would I promote a tea for you to get your hand in the offering and get your money into the stuff? Because if you can tea from God, you're going to tea from me. This is for the people online. You understand? Listen, we got to obey. Obedience brings a blessing. And God wants us to walk in the overflow. Amen? He said, I will bless you. Press down. Watch here now. Press down. Shaking together. You know, somebody tell me something that you pack when you're trying to send a barrel overseas. You fold everything little, little, small, small, tiny, tiny. Even the barrel can't breathe when you're done with it. And you press it down and you push it. And you should see Grandpa Dave pack a barrel. When he's done, he stand on top of the barrel and press it down like this. Yeah, because you want to get as much as you can in there. And you want when the people open it on the other side, they're happy. And they call you and they say, oh, girl, what your name? Jane, thank you so much for this barrel. Look how much stuff. How you get all this stuff in here? So it's the same way God wants to bless us. He said, I'm going to bless you. Press down. Yeah. shaken together. And you can't put a lid on it. It's going to be running over. You want to see people get blessed in this church? You want to see nice cars parked outside? You want to see everybody driving, coming to church, those who desire cars? You want to see you have money to go on vacations? You start tithing. You find somebody that tithes in the house and talk to them. They will tell you how blessed they are. So God wants us to escape the curse, come into the blessing. Because he's a good father. What kind of father is he? A good father. If you read Nehemiah chapter 12, when Nehemiah got to Jerusalem, after he had built the wall and everything, and he instituted everything, set everything up, he found out that chaos broke out again. The house of God was not in order. The people were not tithing. They were not bringing the tithe to the house. So guess what he did? Just like how he asked the king for an excuse to build a wall, he asked an excuse again. And he went back. He went back to Jerusalem, Nehemiah 12. And you know, he met them. And he had a good talk with them. No, he didn't have no talk with them. You know what he did? He grabbed some of them by their hair. And he pulled out their hair. And he dropped lashes on them. And he gave them a whooping because of their disobedience to the principle of God. He was probably saying, come on, guys. Look what God has done for us. God caused a heathen king to be a blessing to us and give us what was necessary to rebuild a wall and put safety around you. And you are disobeying the core principles of God that will unlock your blessing, that would cause a curse to not come on the country. You are already under the curse. God has delivered you from the curse. Now, so come out from among them. Be separate, and I will be a father unto you. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, don't entangle yourself back in the curse. He says, if you do that, not only your family is going to be cursed, but the nation will be cursed. The ground will be cursed because God has given you dominion over it. So the way you're having dominion over it is totally opposite to how God expects you to do it. So it will release a curse on the land. So he went over there and he grabbed them and he beat them and he pulled out some of their hair and he threw them out to the temple. Put them out the temple because you know what? They themselves were in cahoots with Sanballat and Tobiah. Those guys were the opposers of the move of God. So if you are hooked up with anyone or anything that is contrary to this word and this principle, you need to do this. Speak to the hands. Because the ears can't hear you. Some people just got to tell them that. Because what the enemy, he sows these seeds in your heart. Just like the word of God is sown in your heart, it brings forth much fruit. The same way the devil have his agents to come and sow the words of the enemy and the thoughts of the enemy and the plans of the enemy to corrupt what it is God wants to do in your life. Amen? So today, I want to encourage the church. Let us put God, give God the first, give God the best. Let's worship God with the best part of all our increase. And he says, prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and I will pour you such a gift, such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. And what happens is it's a shot to the enemy when you give your tithe. Because he goes like, I can't control this one. I cannot control this one. Because when we put money before God, we're putting the devil before God. Anything that is not God first is the devil first. Amen? Because if it's not of God, it's of who? The devil. And it's of the systems of this world. He says we are in this world, but we are not what? Of this world. So the world says, pay your bills, do everything, and whatever you have remain, you bring to the house of God. No. I'm saying, I'm going to put God first. And I'm going to please God first. Just like we pray first, we tithe first. Can we get an amen in the house? Amen. I want to bring this church up and I want to see you all flourish. I want to see you all do well. I want to see you all have enough. I want this house to become such a breadbasket, just as the word of God says, bring the tithe into the house. That your tithe takes care of the house. Amen? Your tithes take care of the pastor. Your tithes take care of the lights. Your tithes and your offerings take care of the missions we do. Think of all the missions that we do on a yearly basis. We're always giving to the overseas churches. We're sending gifts at Christmas time. If there's a need, if nobody was giving when the pandemic hit, we would not be able to gift our churches, our mission churches in Guyana and in Jamaica. Anybody remembered when the pandemic hit, we sent food to them? We sent $500 to Jamaica, $500 to Guyana to take care. So this is what he says, that there might be meat. Meat in my house. Meat means substance, tangible substance. And we have, God says, prove me. Prove me. Some of you would have to take baby steps. But I want to ask you to come out boldly and talk to God in this moment. Can we get the musicians up? Just talk to God and say, Lord, reveal this truth to me. Reveal this truth. I want to come into the overflow. I want to come in to what it is you have for me. Because your word says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it enter into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. If we love God, we will obey him with our tithes and our offerings. Amen? Let's all stand today as we look to God, and we're going to get ready to also bring our first fruits. Those of you who are doing the first fruit, ushers, hold it. Those who are doing the first fruit comes to the altar. And then we're going to pray over the first fruit. And then after that, we're going to do the tithes and the offerings. When you walked in, the ushers must have given you a first fruit envelope. Did everybody get one? If you need a first fruit envelope, just lift your hands and the ushers will come around and they will hand it to you. Just keep your hands up. Praise God. This is a faith offering that we're doing, where we give God a seed faith, what we call a seed faith. I just want to read something to you from the Word of God. Oh, come on, open up. Hallelujah. Let's look at this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. And it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Is that something we want? Amen. This year I want to walk in the overflow. I want what I have to be blessed. I want it to go to a new dimension. I want to go to a new level financially. I want to hit a new level in my life that I've never hit before. I have a number in my mind and heart that I want God to put me before the end of the year. Amen? Because he said what? Prove me. He said, prove me. So I have a number that I want to see my bank account at the end of the year. I'm not going to tell you because you're going to follow me home with a gun. I'm just kidding. Right? You're going to follow me home with love. I know that. Right? It says, prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven. Can we stand as I pray over you? Lord God, give us hearing ears. Give us receptive minds and spirit. I pray, God, those who are hanging on the edge of decision today with their finances, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch them. I pray, mighty God, that you would reveal truth. Let truth hit their hearts and illuminate their minds. Let the light of God hit them in this area right now. In the name of Jesus. Marebo shata rababa. Those that are on the outside, would you come in? Would you come in? Taru koreba shanda. Yeraba sande rababa. Kerobo shara rabaseke. Mighty God, we just give you praise and we give you glory. That Lord God, you'll help us. Help us. Help us to put you first and honor you. Put you first and honor you with all of our increase. Mighty God, we want to escape the curse. We want to escape anything that is hooked up with the opposer of God, with the enemy, with the devil, oh God. We don't want to go there because we know he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have come that we may increase. You have come that the windows of heaven might be open, that the grace of God might be poured out upon us. In the name of Jesus. And we know that your word says that you will supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. You will supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. Today I want to live on your riches, God. We want to live. This church wants to live on your riches. They want to live, oh God, from your increase, oh God, not from our increase. In the name of Jesus. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for all that you have done and all that you will do. I pray, God, that we would give in a way that looking back and we will say, God, at the end of this year, I have proved you in a remarkable way. I have proved you in ways I thought that were impossible. I have proved you in levels, God. I command, Lord, just like you said, you will cause the windows to open. I pray that everything that is held up will be released unto your people. Oh, God, even things that the financial breakthroughs and blessing they didn't know exist, I pray, God, that it will come into being this year in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor and all the thanks. Let's get the choir up. They're gonna sing and then we're gonna get ready. If you got your envelope, they're gonna be singing a few songs and then we're gonna rejoice and we're gonna bring our first fruit up and then I'm gonna pray over it. Amen. This is a happy moment because we're putting seed in the ground. Amen. We're putting seed in the ground. What you sow, you will. What you sow, you will reap. And I want to share this scripture with you. It says in Matthew 13:23, it says, the one on whom seed was sown on the good ground, this is the man. This is the who? This is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. When you receive the word of God and it takes hold of your heart and you understand it and then you apply it. I want to share this with you. One last thing. You know, the reason I was never able to handle math in school is because I never stopped to receive formulas. I never received formulas. I want to get to the end. I want to just get to the answer. So you know what I would do? I'll wait up till Bishop came home from work like 11, 12 at night. And he would help me to get to the end. But had I received the truth of the formula that I may walk into understanding and then I apply it now. If I understand it, I can then apply it. So this word, it's a word that you have to receive and you got to say, Lord, help me to understand and I want to apply. Or else, you're going to see everyone around you applying and getting the results and you're going to be like, what happened to me? What happened to me? I don't want none of you to be there. Receive the word. Get understanding of it that you may bring forth your 100, you may bring forth your 30 and bring forth your 60. Amen.